drive a wedge between Eisner and Frank Wells. To others, Eisner blamed Wells for everything, from budget shortfalls to bad personnel decisions to skyrocketing operational costs. Wells did deserve some of the blame. Euro Disney exposed managerial weaknesses in Wells that had been apparent to many. He was overextended, he didn't pay attention to details, and he had a short attention span. Still, he had simply been trying to implement the big decisions made by Eisner and his creative team. And he was invariably fair-minded, even-tempered, and good for morale. At their Monday dinners at Locanda Veneta, Eisner increasingly vented his frustrations with Wells to Katzenberg, going so far as to suggest that he'd have to fire Wells if Wells didn't quit first to climb mountains or run for public office. Given that Wells reported to the board, not to Eisner, he couldn't have unilaterally fired him. And Eisner frequently complained about Wells to Ovitz, seeming to ignore the fact that Ovitz and Wells were friends. On one occasion, when Eisner and Ovitz and their wives were dining at the Palm, Eisner arrived late, then immediately said, "That fucking Frank, he's crazy." "What happened now?" Jane asked. "He's so scattered, I can't get him to focus." Eisner complained that Wells wouldn't accept responsibility for the Euro Disney mess. Eisner had also managed to convert his former boss and friend Barry Diller into a bitter enemy. Just as with Larry Gordon, Diller and Eisner had stopped speaking and were going to elaborate lengths to avoid each other in public. The feud began when Disney bought a Los Angeles television station, named it KCAL, K-C-A-L, and wanted to air Disney Afternoon, the block of children's programs being carried by Diller's Fox affiliates, including one in Los Angeles. Eisner had Katzenberg call Diller. In Diller's recounting of the discussion, Katzenberg said, "We want to renegotiate Disney Afternoon, and we're taking away the L.A. market." Diller was shocked. "They had a contract." "That's not fair," he protested. "I know you bought an L.A. station, but give us 2 or 3 years to replace this. Let's be reasonable." Diller called Eisner, who refused. "We were there for you when you needed us," Diller reminded him, pointing out that he'd bought the original programming for Disney Afternoon. Eisner still refused. "Okay, then we're out of business," Diller said. Fox promptly dropped Disney Afternoon from all its wholly owned stations and encouraged its affiliates to do the same. Then it developed its own series of cartoon programs, including the wildly successful Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Disney Afternoon never recovered from the blow. Still, that wasn't what put Diller over the edge, even though he felt Eisner had betrayed him. It was when Disney sued Fox on antitrust grounds, claiming that Fox was trying to monopolize children's programming, and then complained to the FCC that Fox was a morally unfit broadcaster, with risque programming like The Simpsons and South Park. When Disney lawyers approached Diller about a possible settlement, Diller said the only settlement he'd consider was an apology. Disney ended up dropping the suit in 1992, but Diller told Geffen, "I'm never going to speak to him, Eisner, again." Frank Wells also felt the brunt of Eisner's temper. Eisner had called Gold at one point to complain about Wells and asked if he could fire him. "Are you out of your fucking mind?" Gold says he replied. "You're a team. You both report to the board." Eisner didn't bring it up.